Backstage Pass is made possible by Mauer Productions On Stage, supporting community theater in central New Jersey.
Hello, and welcome to Backstage Pass, Central New Jersey's community theater podcast. I'm John Mauer, and I'll be moderating this session, where we will be discussing the fate of Willie Loman and Death of a Salesman, being produced by the Perot Productions at the Kelsey Theater in West Windsor, New Jersey. When American playwright Arthur Miller created the character of Willie Loman, he was creating a name that would be synonymous with dramatic theater. And his play, Death of a Salesman, would go on to be the recipient of the 1949 Pulitzer Prize for Drama and Tony Award for Best Play. The play has been revived on Broadway 3 times and has been the basis of 2 films. With me here to talk about the production are director Ruth Marco and actors Tim Anderson, Peggy Waldron, Chris Scheid, and Tim Liu. Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, John.
John. Thank you.
Okay, so let's start off with Ruth. Tell me, what made you choose Death of a Salesman?
I've always loved Arthur Miller. I think Arthur Miller is probably the best, for me, the best American playwright. He writes stories that are relevant to all periods of history because they talk about the human experience. Death of a Salesman is probably his most famous play. Obviously, it's had many productions, and in fact, there's one that's going to be opening on Broadway within the next few days. But this, it talks about a simple man and an ordinary family and the struggles that they go through that are so deep and so intense and so human that it relates to, I think, just about everybody. We can all relate to some aspect of the Willie Loman experience and the family's experience.
Now, even people who don't know theater have heard of Death of a Salesman. Mm-hmm. It is synonymous with drama. Mm-hmm. Now, going into this, did you have any reservations?
Not at all.
So you were set to go.
I was all raring to go, absolutely.
Okay.
Because what I was saying to the cast when we first started is that what's so compelling about this play is that it just underscores the fact that even ordinary, simple people have stories to tell that are deep and profound. And this play has been produced all over the world for exactly that reason, because it speaks to everybody, to the human experience.
Well, part of that human experience is the title, or not the title character, but the main character of Willie. Mm-hmm. That's Tim Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, tell us, when you first got the role, what was going through your head?
Well, of course, immediately when you hear Willie Loman, you think, well, this is the lead role from what's, you know, pretty much considered to be the great American play. So it's an honor to be considered for it, first off. Then, of course, when you get in, you start stripping away at the character and working away at it. The whole life, the inner life of Willie Loman, just, I think, reaches and touches everybody on a lot of different levels. I think we're talking about the space or the disparity between what we'd like to be and what we are. I mean, there's that issue when you try to relate to Willie and his predicament and his circumstances. So I think that's what strikes a lot of nerves with people when they see this play. And, of course, then you get down to the fundamental relationships in a family between father and son and all the issues those bring up. The ideal, the dream of the father and the desire for the father to leave something for the son, and the son idolizing the father, and then those dreams being interfered with and encroached upon by reality and by life itself. And how this particular family deals with it, how this family deals with what they may dream and what is, and perhaps even the illusions that they create for themselves to be able to cope with that disparity. So I think it's very a relatable play. It's a very relatable role, and the role is a real challenge because basically the entire play occurs in his head. So you have scenes that are actually within scenes that are within scenes, almost like a Russian doll, you know, that type mm-hmm. of thing going on. So that's a bit of a tough thing to a nut to crack, but we're doing it, and I'm really proud to be acting with these people and being under the direction of Ruth. So so far, so good, and we're looking forward to opening up.
Do you see Willie as a tragic character or sort of a hero?
Well, that's interesting. That depends on who you talk to, and if you're asking me, I see him as both. In as much as any human being, aren't we all tragic and aren't we all heroes? Here we are thrust into this life. We're not sure exactly what we're doing here or how we got here, but we're going to get through it the best that we can. And so I say yes to both your both of those.
Now, on Willie's side for this one is Linda, his wife.
Yes.
And that's played by Peggy Waldron. Hello, Peggy.
Hi, how are you?
Can you tell us something? When you got the role, what were you thinking about when you decided, okay, I'm going to be Linda?
Well, it's just a very amazing role, and I am honored to be able to play it. And, again, to be working with Ruth and this wonderful cast is an honor. It's a difficult play because, of course, it has so many layers, and it's a very deep-seated emotions, and you have to get in touch with those in your own self. And also, you have to be very hopeful. I mean, there's a lot of things happening in the play that are very depressing, but you have to realize that these people are hopeful, especially my character of Linda is very hopeful, and she maintains the whole family. I believe that she tries to bolster them up, and she tries to keep Willie on an even keel, and she tries to have her sons and hold the family together. She's really the cement that's holding the family together. So she has to be hopeful at all times, even though sometimes it's hard to be positive in the face of overwhelming circumstances.
Well, falling the same as with the hero in Tragic, do you think she's slightly deluding herself, or is she basically, as you said, the glue for the family? She's hopeful and moving forward and trying to keep the family together.
I don't believe that she's deluding herself. It's possible that she has some dreams that she's still holding on to herself, and they're deteriorating, especially because of her husband and what he's going through. But I believe that she could be deluding herself a bit, but that's understandable in the circumstances, and I certainly identify with how she deals with things. It's very basic maternal instincts, and she absolutely believes in these people. She believes in her husband 100%, and she believes that things will get better, even though they're not where they should be, and her husband has suffered many disappointments. I think she still feels that there's light at the end of the tunnel and that they'll get through this, because she definitely has. They've gotten through the depression. They've gotten through very, very hard times. And I feel that she really thinks they're going to come out of this and they're going to be a happy family again. I think she always feels that, and I'm rooting for her.
Now, you mentioned maternal instincts, and yes. That maternal instincts produced two children in the show, which is Biff and
yes.
Happy, whose storyline threads through this entire production as part of the driving force of it. So let's talk to Chris. You play Biff.
Yes.
Tell us something about Biff. When you first were told, okay, you're going to be Biff, what was going through your head?
Fear.
I think we all can relate to that.
Biff, to me, my original feelings about Biff were that he was, reading the play years ago, that he was, to put it bluntly, kind of a loser. And he's much more complex than that. I think that he is maybe the only one in this family who really wants to get at the truth of what's going on, and he feels it's his responsibility to do that. He can't continue to prop up these illusions anymore, but he doesn't know how to do it because he still is facing the expectations of his father, but he's his own person, and he doesn't know how to really reconcile those. And he's afraid that by doing that, he'll kind of he'll hurt his father and he'll harm the family. So he wants the family to be whole and happy, but he also is being pulled in different directions, and he's not really sure, he's not really come to grips with that.
One of the things with Biff, and one of the reasons why he's drifting through life, is the mysterious event that happened in the past that they tried not to talk about.
Yes.
Do you feel that his struggle with that makes him stronger or indecisive?
I think it's indecision. That was such a pivotal event for him, and it changed, altered the perception of his father, who he still loves, but he chattered illusions, and from that point on, he was not really sure of I think of what was true and what the reality of the family was.
This is a theme that actually runs through the show a little bit too. Is that it's not just that something happened that changed his perception of his father, but that it was never really addressed, because a lot of what happens in the Lohman family is dreams and pipe dreams and plans and futures that they sometimes don't deal with the present. And so in a sense, the relationship sort of stopped at a certain point, and it was never addressed properly. So, which I think is another thing that people can relate to.
Now, Biff's younger brother, Happy, played by Tim Lee Yung. Hello, Tim. So when you got the part of Happy, how did you feel about it? What was going through your head?
It's described that he's, you know, good looking and muscular and stuff. So
I was like, all right,
that's obviously why I'm here.
Typecasting.
I know, I get typecast as a super handsome, good looking
guy. For those
guy
who don't know, we're looking at a young Tom Cruise here.
Exactly.
It's old, doesn't it?
It does get old. I try to get out of this pigeonhole, you know. But as a whole, I think in approaching this character, Happy, it's a little more difficult in a sense that there's nothing. It almost feels like he is ignored by his parents and even sometimes his brother a little bit, but there's something about being ignored and being always attempting to be that mediator, trying to be the glue that Linda is, while failing horribly at it because he's selfish in a certain sense, because it's not that he's selfish. It's that he's getting what he should be getting in my mind, in Happy's mind. He really tries, I think, to live up to these expectations that Willie has. But the problem is that he hasn't had that illusion shattered as Biff has. So if Biff did not have that illusion shattered, maybe he'd be like Happy, kind of living by himself, kind of going to the, you know, prostitutes and to the bars trying to find stuff. That's written in there. That's okay.
I was going to say, it's a little bit too much of your personal life. <getting into here. laughs>
Yes, that's another aspect that was very, very similar to my own life.
Now, do you consider him to be ignored because, well, he basically was, well, at least in the view of his parents, doing what they want him to do. So it's like, okay, there's nothing special about him. He's doing what he's on plan. It's Biff that's the problem, so that he's the one that gets all the attention.
Well, I would, except for the issue that in Death of Salesman, there's a lot of flashback scenes to when we're younger, where Biff is about 17, and making Happy probably around 14 or 15. Now, the issue lies where all the attention still, when they're younger, is still always based on Biff rather than Happy. Biff is kind of like the star athlete, and Happy kind of tags along, maybe just because he's younger, hasn't had the opportunity. But there's a continued sense that that my parents, my lovely parents here, especially Willie, continue to ignore him or push his dreams and push Happy's dreams aside, which kind of makes, if like the younger child syndrome, always wanting to be, you know, well, yeah, I'll do what Dad and Mom want because then they'll love me, you know. Or the middle child, like I'm the middle child. You know, my brother grew up. Everyone's like, oh, your brother's so handsome and nice and he's tall. And then I came along. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, you have another kid. And then I have a little sister. It's like, oh, the baby. She's so cute. Your brother's so tall. And it's like, what about me?
Yeah, so you're always Biff's brother.
I'm always Biff's brother, exactly. I try, you know, try your hardest, but still you can't do it. So he kind of sticks around. He ends up being more in a hole than Biff is. However, I don't realize it throughout the entire time.
I want to just add one thing to what everybody has said. I cast these actors because they're phenomenal. And I really felt that they really can offer a lot to the characters. And as we talked, as we got to know each other a little bit better, each one of them has been able to find something about themselves in the character that they're playing. And it's stunning to me, you know, that everybody said, oh yeah, I can certainly relate to that aspect, or I can certainly relate to that aspect. And that it comes out in the performance because they're real. you know, which again goes back to what I said earlier about the, you know, everybody can relate to these characters.
So you're about a week out from opening night, huh?
2 weeks.
2 weeks out.
Don't rush us. Don't rush us.
Please don't. Do
everybody
that.
Feeling confident?
Oh, we're going to get there.
We'll get there. They'll get there.
I mean, I walked
confident.
In on the rehearsal, and they were going strong when I got here.
Oh, yeah. We're so. Definitely. We are. This is a wonderful, wonderful cast, and truly professionals. Everybody, not just my four principals, but all of the people cast. This play has 13 characters in it. When before I really got intimately involved with the show, it surprised me that there were that many characters in it, because we only think about the Lohman family. There are 13 characters in this show. There's 12 actors, and every single one of them is phenomenal, and really bring this whole thing to life. Yeah, we'll be ready, and we'll be ready.
So, Ruth, what does Perot have coming up the rest of the season?
The next production will be Company, Stephen Sondheim's Company. It will be directed by Pete Labriola of Perot Productions, and we open May 18th for 2 weekends up until June 3rd. Pete and Perot Productions have been systematically going through the Sondheim repertoire, and this is the next one.
Okay. For those who are interested in seeing Death of a Salesman, it will be at the Kelsey Theater on the West Windsor campus of Mercer County Community College, and will begin on February 24th and run through March 4th. Tickets are $16 with discounts for seniors and students. Go to www.kelsey@mccc.org or call 609-570-3333 for further information and reservations. I want to thank my guests, Ruth Marco, Tim Anderson, Peggy Waldron, Chris Scheid, and Tim Liu, for joining us today.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
It was terrific.
For Backstage Pass, I'm John Maurer. Thanks for listening.